Abram, blessed by Melchizedek. We've been studying Abram. We know him as Abraham now, and we looked at his journey into faith, into the call of God. We've been blessed by his examples, and they will continue even in to next week's lesson. What a wonderful study. The 14th chapter, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 and verses 11 through 20. But to help us along, we may need to check in with Hebrews chapter 7. And we meet in chapter 14 a very interesting fellow. We know Abram. But we're going to meet somebody else. And we meet a whole bunch of people that it was kind of hard to pronounce their names, you know. They're funny guys, you know. They tried to play a trick on us. But, we've taught you how to read, and we just say, hey, you know, the names may not be as important as you think they are, you know, so just call them Robert and Bobby and Fred and Hampton, you know, and get on to the meat of the matter. But in this, it's important to know that a little background. Lot and Abraham separated last week. Lot, the nephew of Abram, they separated, and they separated on the conditions that that there was some strife. And I shared with you guys last week, it's really interesting how you can be walking in the call of God, doing where you need to be, where God has put you and placed you, and yet you still got trouble. But as we saw in last week's lesson, that God is a provider. That's why they called him Jehovah Jireh. And he will meet your needs, and he'll beat back your enemies, and he'll make your enemies shut up, because he is the God of all peace. And, when he doesn't want disturbances going on, he shuts it down. And those who trust in him, no matter what. And Abraham showed himself faithful last week, and that he said, well, you know, I know what God has offered me, but I'm willing to yield. I'm willing to submit to the craziness and the foolishness of my young nephew here, my nephew who I've tried to father, because, as you know, Lot's father had already died. And but what Lot is going to find out is that it's true, just like on the television shows of the 50s and 60s. Father does knows best. Father knows best. Father knows best. You know how I know? Because he told Lot, look here, pick anything you want. Whatever direction you're going, I'm going in the other direction. See, parenthetically, Rob, Lot didn't see the little bubble that's over the head, and he said, because I'm right where I need to be, you know. Lot couldn't see it, you know, but Abram had an illumination, and he knew exactly one thing: God is my provider, and what God has ordained for you is going to be you. It doesn't matter what happens. You know, people can act crazy. You can get crazy relatives and friends, but they're not going to put you out what God has put you in. They're not going to open up what God has closed, and they're not going to close, okay? Well, Lot didn't believe that, like most of you children. You know how hard-headed y'all were growing up? He went on off. And today we're going to see the result of those poor choices. The result of those poor choices. Listen to your daddy. Don't get mad with your daddy. Don't get mad with your father and want to go claim what's yours. It's that the Bible is replete with examples of folk who thought they knew more than their father. Come here, prodigal son. Yeah, they give me mine, you know. And that's what Lot said. You know, this territory too big for the both of us. One of us got to get out of here. And I see the lights. I see the party lights of Sodom. And I'm going right down there. That's what I want to claim. It looks just like Egypt. It looks just like when I was down there in Egypt. You know, how fertile, look how pretty it looks. But we found out last week, and we will definitely find out this week what looks good to you. Y'all heard it. I gave you a little bit of it last week. I know. I'm here to tell you. That's right. That's right. Verse 1 of chapter 14, as we get in to this, we find the backdrop here. You're going to see that everybody's where they want to be, doing what they want to do, but yet a war breaks out. And let me tell you why the war breaks out first. It's because the devil is not content with people just getting along. If you find two people, two groups of people, warring against one another, raising Cain, stirring up a mess, you know the devil got something to do with it. And it's interesting that we would have this lesson on this week about this geographical area with what's in the news. Y'all hear me? Well, we're talking about Iraq and Iran here. So in other words, they have always had some propensity, as Sister Kendall would say, they have a bent towards stupidity and sin. Here they go again, fighting. Read verse 1 for me. That's Kedaloma. You know what? It's really interesting. Because people always go where they've been before. They're just like Lot. There's a bunch of Lots in here. You know, because that right there don't look like nothing. Y'all seen this word so many times. You know that anytime you see CH in the Old Testament, it is not shall, it's cal. Okay? And it's in this particular case, it's Kaloma. Yeah. That same guy, Ked. It's Ked. Kaloma, not Che, but Ked. Ked. Kaloma. And he's a rascal. No. Thank you. But what it is, they pronounce these guys over in, and these are kings in the region of what is now known as Iraq and Iran. And they don't know. They just had an attack of insanity and decided that they were going to go and attack these other kings. Listen, read, let's go to verse 2. And believe it or not, y'all did real good that time. the only thing is that's Shimmy Bear, believe it or not. And that should be easy. Shimmy Bear. Shimmy Bear. Shimmy Bear. And all you got is like Winnie Bear or Shimmy Bear. Okay. Zai, some just say Zai. It's a Zai, silent letters there. There's actually another letter. No. So, now, let's see what happened here. You had these kings in verse 1, and then they made war with a king named Bera over in Sodom. That's key. That's the most important thing. You want to know how to pronounce Bera and Sodom, because you're going to have to use them later on. Because Sodom is where Lot is. That's where I want to be. Let's see how pretty it looks now. Because those first group of kings in verse 1, they're going to wear. Kedaloma, he didn't play. He was worse than Nebuchadnezzar. He's out of the line of Nebuchadnezzar. Thugs, miscreants, did not play. And he's leading this pack. But what the devil does not realize, and what ordinary men in the world does not realize, is you can't come against God's people or people that you think may be God's people. Yeah. See, if you even got a suspicion that, you know what, they're protected by God, you better leave them alone. Okay? But evil does not know when to quit. He don't care nothing about Lot or Abram, because he doesn't know the one God that they know. He's been used to serving many gods, and all of them have failed him. He has always relied on his might and his strength. So it's easy to go down. But let me tell you something. Just because you get God's protection doesn't mean that you're one of God's either. Because the last time I checked, the word is true. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. This Sodom, they're a bunch of wicked people. Y'all heard it last week. They were what? They were wicked and sinners. And now y'all having empathy for them. Because they're getting ready to get captured. They're getting ready to get caught. They're getting ready to get taken off. Possessions, all living beings, ones that aren't slain, going to be taken by these kings. Now, obviously, if there's a verse 11, there had to be some verses after a 2 that's not printed here. And what happens is that we see it, if you look in your Bibles, what goes on from chapter, from verses 3 to 11. And what happens is they talk about how they're taken over, and you know what? Abraham hears about it. Abraham hears about it, and he hears about it because a fugitive breaks loose. One of the people that had been captured, you know, that belonged to one of these other kings, and he went and told Abraham and the Hebrew boys. Said, look here, they got your people. And you know what? Your people, wait a minute, I got a nephew that lives in Sodom. Do you happen to know him? Oh, they got him. They took him. You talking about the guy that owned all that stuff? See, because Lot had lots of cattle, goats, sheep. He had big time possessions. He had fertile ground to feed them on, to pasture them on. But from verse 3 to 11, he's caught. He has been taken off. And somebody escapes. God makes a way for somebody to get there and get to Abraham. If you just get to the Father, I'll be all right. You know, Abraham is our father. He's a father of faith. If you get to Abraham, that slave could have gone anywhere. But he probably in captivity. He probably heard Lot talking about Abram. Oh, yeah, you know, lives over in such and such, and he's man of God, and he should really, oh, if he just knew what was happening, I think he could do something about it. Y'all go with me. In verses 3, do 3 and 4 for me right quick out of your Bibles. Okay, stop. Don't stop. Just stop. Tell you what. Just go to where do I want you to stop? 10. Let's just go to 10. That's good. I'll fill you in. Okay. Go to verse 10. The valley of Siddim. But the rest escaped into the mountains. The valley of Siddim was full of tar pits when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. They fell into the tar pits. They fell into the tar pits. Kings, wicked men, running, on the run. How kingly does that look? And as a matter of fact, in some translation, it's not tar pit. It's a sewer. And he says, the four kings captured all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and their food and equipment and went on their way. They took everything they had of these kings, but also of Lot. That means that they took lots. Lot, most folk would think, is outside the ark of safety because he's not with Abram. He decided to leave. But God is on their side. And God helps Abram develop a strategy, okay, that would return everything that he lost back to him. Verse 11. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and the Amorite, brother of Ishcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. Confederate with Abel, a man who knew God. But these other men were confederate with him. In other words, they were friends of him. They were cohorts. They were defenders. They were friends of Lot and Abram. God will always provide protection against your enemies. Even when you think you've lost it all, when you think that there's no recovery, you cannot rule out God. Because God is in the business of working this thing in order to bring this thing to fruition. See, you don't have to do the work. God will do the work. All God asks you to do is to be in the right place and be obedient. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the call for weeks now. And it's the same no matter what. When you get in trouble, when there is no trouble before the call, be obedient. When there's trouble after the call, be obedient. Do what God says. Don't consult with nobody else. Don't go out and it doesn't say that he went out and he solicited their help. God will provide the help that you need to get you through this thing. God could have stopped them in their tracks. It didn't work right there. Because he always let you participate in your blessing and in your miracle. It's a miracle what's about to happen. You know why? Because I'm surprised at the number of people that Abram took with him. Anybody read ahead and find out how many there were? Thank you. Y'all got it. Says there were 318. Now we're talking about four kings out of the Babylonian Empire over there, Iraq and Iran. He took 300, but it says one thing, they were well trained. 318. Well-trained men, just like God told him. I'm sure, no doubt in my mind. You just don't come up, that ain't a number that you just come up with. Only God would come up with a number like that. The issue is, you're in trouble and you need help, but you gotta do what God says do. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that this is the first recorded world war? It's a world war. These kings have come together. Four against five, five against four have come, and they're just going to take over everything. They're going to take all the spoils. They're going to loot, to include the servants. They're going to take it all. And they had from Abram's nephew Lot. But Abram didn't equivocate and say, well, I told him not to go over there messing with them boys over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know how you get to be when you're talking about hard head makes us soft? Yeah. Y'all been there. Y'all heard it too. He didn't do that. He formed an army. He formed a strategy. He went to the Lord and said, look, this is how we do it. Notice. There has not been anything recorded about Abraham having any war skills, that he was some great general. Y'all better, that's how you know it's God. This man didn't need no war, he had faith. He was just going where God told him to go. Lot just going on for the trip. But he sees now that you can be covered. Now I'm talking about Lot. You can be covered even when you are out from under the umbrella. God will find a way to get to you and rescue you. Oh, but you know what? Somebody's got to believe. Somebody's got to have the faith. And evidently, it's that same guy that they're calling Abram. He's got the faith. Because he starts doing, you ain't gonna walk out there with no 318 people against those four rascals that they just got through naming up there in verse 1. You're not gonna do that. But Abram did. Devised a plan, attack him at night. You know, got night tactics. Y'all read the story? Because when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318. I'm so surprised it took y'all that long to get to that 318 number when I want you to participate in this. 318. And they pursued unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and what? And what? Haba. Thank you. You got to understand this. He just didn't stop when he had them on the run. He followed them another 53 to 55 miles. Pursued them. You know why? Because sin needs to be beat back, folks. You can't let sin just hang around. You can't let sin hang around, and you can't hang around sin. Y'all don't hear me. We're missing out on our blessing because we tolerate too much. We don't trust God. We think, you know, just like Lot thought he needed Sodom. It's beautiful, it's fertile, you know, it looks good. I can make a living here, I can prosper here, but that ain't where God wanted you. That's where you wanted you. God, in his permissive will, permitted you to go there. There's a whole bunch of you living in Sodom, and maybe you need to be in Gomorrah. But even in Gomorrah, you're in trouble. Because the last time I checked, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked and they were sinners. And whenever there is sin, it must be eradicated. It must be blotted out. It must be removed from your presence. That's why there is no sin in heaven. Ah, even my basic diet. Hey, Willie, tell him. Tell him, you know, you got justification, you got sanctification. But one day you'll have glorification. And glorification means that there is no sin present. Because God knows what holiness requires. Holiness and sin don't work well together. That's why there's always an issue. That's why there is a war. Because righteous folk trying to live righteous in a hellish world. It don't mix. But whenever you are confronted with sin, it must be dismissed. It must be run down. You can't be afraid of it. You got to deal with it. I heard someone say you can't play with it. Let me tell you one thing. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Because a long time ago, Mama Rose told me, if you play with dirt, it'll get in your eye. You play with sin, it's gonna get on you. If you play with it long enough, it'll get in you. But Abram tracked them down. Pursued them further than he had to. But that's why you got to get them up out of there. Verse 16 says, and he bought so you lost something because you played around with sin. But God is a God of another chance. And he'll give you back even more. He'll give you back what you had, what you thought you lost. Lot didn't plan to see this, Lord. The issue is the possessions. You don't know because you don't know the mind of Lot. But here it is. They took his women also. Now, a lot of brothers in here on Father's Day will tell you, you know, take the money, but don't be messing with the woman. But they took the money, the goat, the sheep, the women, the babies, the servants. They took everything. And after Abraham pursued them that great distance, you know what he took? Everything. You got it. He took everything. because that's what we need to do. It didn't belong. God bless Lot and Abram. Those kings had no right to any of that. The devil has no right to anything that God has given you. And so Andre Crouch was exactly right. You got to take it back. You can't, you know, and the issue is, what we want to do is we want to give it up. Oh, I'm going to tell you, because some trading goes on here left. Matter of fact, Abram, in this chapter 14, not only gives us a picture of his faith, but he gives us a picture of his integrity. Oh, yes, integrity in war, integrity in worship, in integrity. He won't be tempted. Y'all read the rest of the chapter. Y'all know that they tried to offer him something. But Abram was a man of integrity. You know why? When you trust God, you can be a man or a woman of integrity. You don't have to make compromises with the world. And you don't let the world, you're not a chump because you're quiet. Be a fierce, there's a whole bunch of folk that are fierce fighters. They just don't fight the way you fight. And the issue is you can't judge. But Abram said, you know, I'm not a man of war. But if you start something with me, I can bring war to you. And when I bring war to you, oh, I love this. He's saying, it is not me that is warring against you. It is the God in me. It's the God that I serve, and that's who you need to be afraid of. And the God I serve, don't let the devil keep stuff that he's giving away. You remember when you were a little boy, a little girl, you know, some old bully come in and take your toy, you know, they bought you number one cap shooter. You know, no bad Demetrius Ham, no, take your gun. Shoot, Mama Rosa, look at boy. Where's that gun? I'm gonna stand right here on this porch. And I guarantee you, that gun better show up. Take it back. Man, don't let nobody take something from you and then not take it back. But the devil has stolen from the church. The devil has done so much to us. You know, even our music. Now we're talking about, you know, when we hear a tune, we say, ooh, that's the world. No, the world stole it from us. What people started, well, you know, where did they start? Oh, they can jam. Oh, they can really blow. What? They started jamming and blowing in the church. Check them all the backgrounds. All y'all great, y'all favorites. Aretha Franklin, she didn't start in no juke joint. Started in church. Natalie Cole, started in church. Staple Singers, I heard it last week. Doom. Doom, 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 doom. Take it back. Take it back. People don't want to shout. They want to be cute. No, that dancing is for the world. No. Do y'all remember David? He had a dance out of school. He got down. He got wild with it. He dropped it before it was hot. Gotta take it back. And Abram here, it tells me that he took everything that belonged to Lot. Notice that none of it was Abram. It was specifically designed for Lot. But the issue is, you can't mess with your daddy's child and think you're not messing with the daddy. The son may not be able to take it back, but my father should sure enough take it back. You may be so spineless that you don't want to take it back. Did you want to clap your hands and stomp your feet, give God glory and act just like you're wild? You may not want to do that because you think the world, but God gets all the glory. He deserves all the praise. And when the devil steals it, you take it back. That's why it's coming back in the church. People get scared of it, you know. Oh, that was it out in the world. No. Because that's why you consecrate everything. We used to do that. We don't do that no more, Rob. You know, remember, you used to remember when they bought the piano? That's the one I remember. Y'all don't even remember the piano. Because they don't play piano anymore. They have it. But anyway, they dedicated. You bought communion trays. You dedicated them. You bought tablecloths. You dedicated them. Now they just throw them up there any kind of way. This stuff belongs to God. And it needs to be bought back. The church belongs to God. The church needs to be bought back. Church doesn't belong to the world. The world shouldn't be telling the church how to act. The world shouldn't be telling the church what to do. But I'm going to tell you, there's a time coming when there's rumors, when there's wars and rumors of wars, that it'll be taken back. Oh, I guarantee you. If no other time, because I'll check 1 Thessalonians, our sister Nina, and it says that a trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are still alive shall be caught up. God knows how to reclaim his stuff, and he's been doing it since Genesis. He's been showing us how to do it. You are not a doormat. Never fought a war. Never lifted a hand against anybody, Abram. But when the time was right, when sin could not be tolerated anymore, when sin had gone too far, and you know when sin goes too far? When it starts messing with me and mine. You can say it for yourself now. Yeah, okay, go on over there. But just because it ain't come to your door yet, you shouldn't permit it even in your neighborhood. Amen. Verse 17 says, Ketalomer. Now, it says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him. Y'all didn't hear that. The king of Sodom went out to meet him. I thought the king was in a pit. Marie, help me out. I thought he was in a pit. I thought he was out there in the slush bin. But you know what? Everybody wants to be with a winner. Everybody want to tell you how well you've done. Everybody's a hero now. You know, when the boys come home from war, they thank you for your service. Now, what they want to do is they want to skin and grin with you. But I was a part of a group they didn't skin and grin with. They threw rocks at and cursed, you know, because we were out trying to secure the freedom of folk, freeloaders right now, folk who have become cute and quaint now. Conservative in every way, and well, I would have served, but and the king of Sodom came out to meet him. Look at verse 18 and say just two words: Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, king of what? Notice that two kings come out to meet Abram. One, a reprobate. The other one, a priest. See, a whole bunch of people are going to laud your accomplishments when you've done something for them. But everybody that's out calling your name now ain't the people that are really going to be with you when it really counts. That's right. And you can tell by what they say and do.
Amen.
Y'all better. Oh, that is there. You guys have got to see this. Because you know, today's lesson is about Abram being blessed by Melchizedek. The king came out with flattery words and wanted to negotiate. Y'all ready? That's it. You give me this, and you can keep this. The king of peace comes out with wine and bread. Remember I told you that we might have to look at Hebrews 7? Well, the reason why is because y'all read all those names, and y'all did great. And then y'all read a name like y'all were very familiar with this guy. But there's more written about those four guys that you stumbled over in verse 1 than this guy that came out with wine and bread. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Because Hebrews 7 tells us that this boy is something different. He wasn't mentioned at the beginning. But he comes out with bread and wine. That makes him a partner already. You know, no soldier don't want to come in talking about thank you for your service. Where's the bread? Where's the wine? Thank me for my service after you give me the bread and the wine. I'm just looking for some wine. But he does. And it's Melchizedek. And he's called the king of what?
Amen.
What does Salem mean, or Salam? When you were reading this and you've been taught, what do you say that Melchizedek is king of? But he's also righteousness, but it's also said he was the king of Salem. And where is Salem? Yeah, see, many, Salem is the word Jerusalem. And many believe that he was the king of Jerusalem. But we know better than that. I'm going to tell you, we can do it. Because first of all, if he's a Jew, I read my Bible, and my Bible says that the first king was who? Come on, guys. No. Saul. Somebody said it. Yeah. Saul. Thank you, Harry. Saul. And the next king was what?
David.
Now, you tell me something. That can't be Jerusalem. At least I don't think it is. It may be. But also we know that that name means king of righteousness. Many believe, and I'm one of them, that he is the king of peace. He's the king of righteousness. Because he is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Brother Snead, what gives you evidence of that? Well, I'll tell you, before I give you the evidence, let me tell you just one more thing about it. First of all, he had bread and wine. He had bread and wine for the communion, and the word of God is clear. As often as you remember. In other words, Melchizedek is the first sign of pointing to the one who's called Jesus Christos. In other words, Joe Harris might tell you that it was a theophany. This is the first appearance of Christ in bodily form. This is another appearance of Christ. But they believe that Melchizedek is that because we know that Jesus is out of the line of Aaron. But he's out of the order of Melchizedek. Y'all don't, well, Brusney, you're confusing me. Out of the line of Aaron is talking about his service, what tribe he came from. But out of the order is about his personage. You there in chapter 7? I know y'all went there. Get to reading then. Somebody just read. One, start one, two, three, right quick.
Priest of the Most High God.
Did what? Keep reading.
Who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the king and blessed him.
Yes.
To him also Abram gave a tenth part of all.
Uh-huh.
First being by interpretation king of righteousness.
Yes.
And after that also king of Salem.
Yes.
Which is king of peace.
Uh-huh. Keep reading.
Without father.
Without what?
Without father.
Didn't have no father.
Without mother.
Didn't have a mother.
Without descent.
Without descent.
Having neither beginning of the day.
Didn't have a start or a beginning. I didn't have a start or an ending.
No end of life, but like unto the Son of God, abided, priest, continually.
He's called priest, and we know Jesus is our high priest. I think I believe Joe Harris. I think it was a theophany. This was a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Christ, and he comes out. And he points to what is to come, okay? And he does something. He blesses Abram. When you have done what God told you to do, you can always expect a blessing. Christ shows up way over here in Genesis. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." I'll give you just one more. This one's going to be free. Harry, some think that this Melchizedek was Shem or Job. But we know that can't be because the brother here just read it. He says he didn't have mother or father. And we know who Shem's father is. Oh, man, studying this Bible is just so good. No, he was the pre-incarnate Christ. He's Melchizedek. We don't have to be dogmatic about it, but we know one thing. It's pointing. And it's pointing to the communion table. And he says, "Abram, you are blessed." And why is Abram blessed? Because he is favored by the Most High God who possesses everything in the earth. In other words, God owns it all. So anytime you take anything from anybody, you're taking God's stuff. Verse 20 says, "And blessed be
the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and created the eyes of all."
Somebody better help me. Because every time a preacher shows up, a tithe tray start moving around. That's what I said, Harry. Every day you get the offering plate gonna fall out every time. But who taught him to tithe? See, when you know that everything belongs to God, you know you want to give it back. Further on in the exchange, the king of Sodom, you know what he comes with? He tells Abram, "Here's what I want you to do. Just give me the women. You keep all the possessions." Y'all going to read it when we get a couple. We got to go. You know what Abraham said? "I swear to God, I'm taking nothing from you. Because if I take something from you, you'll think you made me. You'll think that I got what I got from you." But you see right there in verse 20, Abram saying, "I realize that God owns everything. You can't give me nothing because God owns everything." And as a matter of fact, all God does is redistribute the possessions and the wealth. Y'all don't hear me. They don't like that term. But God determines. You know, "I want you to be a blessing. I want you to be a blessing. I want to I put the money in your hands. I put the possessions in your hands. I put the power. I put the prestige in your hands." Oh, let me move it over here. You can't get mad with God.
All right.
God owns that. And God said, "Let me tell you one thing. We're not talking about taking away from you, Abram. I own everything. I gave it to you. And I don't give and just take away. What's yours is yours. But what I'm saying is that God will so bountifully bless you that you will be a blessing to other folk. Amen. I know how to set it up. Don't let men distribute into your bosom. Let God distribute in your bosom, because he is the possessor and owner of everything. That's why you can be blessed by the Most High Priest, Jesus the Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes on our behalf every day. And because he is who he is, you remember Melchizedek? They called him a priest and righteous. Well, here's Jesus. He's prophet, priest, and a king.